Thank you very much. I too would like to thank WIPO for this event and for inviting me to speak here. I'd particularly like to thank the audience. I think for everyone to still be here at 4:45 on a Friday afternoon shows a dedication to copyright, which is laudable. I've seen the subject matter of this panel as an open invitation to ask for things. I'm not sure whether that was the intention, but that's the line of argument that I'm pursuing. But first, I just wanted to explain to those of you who don't know what a music publisher does, what our role is in the food chain. A publisher owns songs. We develop and sign and develop writers, some of whom write and sing their own songs as recording artists. And at Warner Chappell in the UK, we've signed, for example, Amy MacDonald and Paolo Nattini and Dido, all of whom were signed to us before they had a record deal. So it's not necessarily a record company that launches an artist onto the stage. Some of our writers write for other people and don't sing themselves, or at least not in public. But we make no products. We don't manufacture anything. In the old days, we used to make sheet music, and we don't even do that anymore. We farm that out to sheet music specialists. So our only business is licensing. We're completely dependent on other people using songs for us to generate revenues to reinvest. And sometimes we license directly ourselves, and sometimes we license through collection societies for collective rights management. So I think it's important to see what our business needs to thrive in order to work out what assistance we need from WIPO. What we need is a licensing landscape which encourages both national and multinational licenses. We like to license both nationally and internationally. We need collection societies which are efficient, fair and transparent. We need to have users who want to pay a fair rate to use our songs. And we need a legislative background which supports copyright. But before asking for help, I think it's important to show that we are trying to help ourselves in various ways. We've reorganized how we administer digital rights, and by doing that, I think have got a better service which we can offer to digital rights companies, and we're able to secure a more successful relationship with collection societies in terms of ensuring transparency and efficiency on that type of licensing. We do offer at Warner Chappell either national licenses for digital companies that still want to get licenses on a blanket basis for the national territory, and we offer multi-territory licenses. We actively engage with the digital community. In the old days, we didn't used to really meet with digital companies because the collection societies would be the access point through which digital companies acquired our rights. And now we're much more in the forefront of that, which is hugely exciting when you see some of the new business models come to market. And consequently, we work very closely with them to create new business opportunities in this ever-changing world, especially as we become less reliant on record sales or income from record sales, which has been hit so badly by piracy. So in helping ourselves, we've relaunched the International Confederation of Music Publishers, and I'm here as a board member of ICMP. We've developed active partnerships with other content industries such as the film industry, the record industry, book publishing industry. We try to work very hard in supporting developing markets. Every year ICMP runs a publishing conference for music publishers in Eastern Europe and try and assist those developing markets in creating business models that work for themselves. And next week there's another session in the United Arab Emirates, where I couldn't agree more with Mr. de Sumont earlier on, who talked about the importance of setting up a collection society in the Gulf. That's something that we too have focused on. We've secured various industry agreements between us and, for example, JSAC, which is an organisation of collection societies, and we've supported and developed education programmes in schools. So, what do we need from WIPO? I think what we need WIPO to do, and I was very impressed with what Dora had to say, I completely support and endorse what she had to say. We need best practice guidelines, I think, throughout the world for copyright education, for copyright enforcement, for support against copyright theft, I've put here. Piracy, I think, is a strange word because I think for some people it's quite an appealing word to be considered a pirate. There's something that appeals into the rebel amongst us to be considered pirates. And I think that we have to marry the idea that this is copyright theft while at the same time trying to acknowledge that for certain types of use, we should maybe be a bit more free and easy with access to our copyrights. In developing markets, we're very keen to work closely with WIPO in developing markets. Warner Chappell is a global company, and I myself have been to territories like the Philippines and India to try and work out how we can assist the market there. And it would be great to go hand in hand with WIPO. And one of my colleagues at Warner Chappell I know is attending the China conference. The other thing that I think we need, and the last thing that I think we need help from WIPO on, is a global repertoire database. Now, I'd planned that this was going to be a big reveal at the end of this session, but it seems to me that I don't think I've spoken about anything much other than a global repertoire database over these past 2 days. So, and Francis Gurry himself started with a reference to it. The idea, I think, to be specific, is that there is one source of truth for data which relates to musical works throughout the world. And this has been considered for many years, in fact, but was most recently harnessed by a roundtable which was created out of the European Commission. It's essential for both old and new markets, and it's particularly essential for music publishing, musical composition rights, so music publishing, collection society rights, to enable digital service providers to identify repertoire. And for us, as publishers, we're still in the situation where we are amending registrations in just about every country in the world. So if there's a correction to a song split, we are having to do that multiple times. If we had a global repertoire database, it would provide a universal source of truth that would then send information out. Warner Chappell was originally excluded from the process of consultation that came out of the European Commission, but I found out through making a nuisance of myself, I think is the word for it, that it is an open access process and administered through a company called Rights.com. So I would urge you all to participate in that and to check into it. It's a company called Rights.com, which is if you Google them, I'm sure you will find them. Originally, I thought I'd be here saying to WIPO, please can you fund this, or please can you make it happen, or please can you contribute dispute resolution procedures. I could go on. But I think the important thing is that it has to be supported by WIPO. In fact, it has to be supported by the European Commission, and it has to be supported by everyone here if it's going to happen. There's no room for ego in this. There's no room for ego, whether individual, corporate, or organisational. We must be careful not to be over-ambitious. And I think that we, only by concentrating on what Francis Gurry has referred to as the public good, can we make it happen. So one thing I do know, based on past experience, is if we don't use this opportunity to make it happen, it will be a long time before we're able to do it again. We've known before that we're so dependent on IT that when we fail with IT initiatives, it tends to put us off having another go for quite a long time. So I would urge you all to get involved, to find out about it, and to try and support this process. And I ask particularly for WIPO's help in making it happen. Thank you.